Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be traveling back in time, heading to 14th century England. We're going to be looking at potential ancestors, intrigue, and maybe even a brush with a legendary outlaw. Ready to get started?
Oh, absolutely. Let's dive right in. I'm particularly excited to explore these historical records with you. Uncovering these connections to the past is always so fascinating.
So the records that we have for you for this deep dive focus on a lineage that traces back to Doncaster in the 1300s. What was Doncaster like back then? Today, it's this bustling industrial city, so I'm guessing things were a little different.
Oh, a very different place. Just picture a town initially shaped by the Romans, remnants of their fort, Danum still visible, followed by the Normans, who, you know, they left their mark with that prominent castle. But by the 14th century, the town, it was already evolving. The parish church, for instance, transitioned from St. Mary Magdalene's to the grounds of the old castle, becoming the Church of St. George. And this signifies a pretty big shift in power, with the church gaining influence.
It's amazing how those, like, historical landmarks tell a story about what was happening at the time, like with power and things like that. So who are some of the characters we might encounter in this medieval drama?
Well, one intriguing figure is William Farndale, potentially your ancestor, who served as the vicar of Doncaster.
A vicar, so a pretty prominent religious figure.
Absolutely. We know about William from a land grant. Dates back to 1355, and interestingly, he is addressed as Sir. This title, while often associated with knights, was also used as a mark of respect for religious men during that era.
Okay, so Sir in those days didn't necessarily mean someone was, you know, out there with a sword. What else can you tell us about William?
Well, based on the historical records, it's believed that William would have been in his 20s in 1355, meaning he lived through the Black Death, a devastating pandemic that reshaped Europe.
Wow. To live through something that catastrophic makes you wonder what kind of impact it had on his life, and maybe even his choice to dedicate his life to the church.
Indeed. The Black Death led many to seek solace and meaning in religion, so it's certainly a plausible connection. Now, beyond his religious role, we also have records of William owning land in Loversall.
And this wasn't just, you know, some minor detail. Land ownership in those days was a pretty big deal.
Oh, absolutely. Land ownership was directly tied to your status, your influence in medieval society. It determined your wealth, your social standing, even your political clout. So the fact that William, as vicar, also held land speaks volumes about his position in the community. He wasn't simply a man of the cloth. He was a figure of authority and influence in Doncaster.
This is fascinating. It's like we're starting to piece together this puzzle and all those little details, you know, that give us a glimpse into who these people were. Now, speaking of intriguing records, William might not have been the only notable figure in your family tree. The historical text also mentions a Nicholas de Farndale.
Yes, Nicholas, likely William's brother, making him another potential ancestor of yours. What makes Nicholas so interesting is that his name pops up in connection with the poll tax of 1379.
The poll tax? Was that like a medieval income tax or something?
Not quite. Imagine a tax levied on every adult, rich or poor, with a fixed amount per person. Now, while this might seem straightforward, it disproportionately impacted the lower classes who were already struggling.
I see. So even back then, taxes were a sensitive subject. What was the fallout of this poll tax? Did people just grumble and pay up?
Well, the poll tax, while seemingly insignificant on its own, became a catalyst for widespread discontent. Remember, this was a time of growing social unrest. The Black Death, it had really upended the social order. And this discontent ultimately boiled over into what's known as the Peasants' Revolt of 1381.
A full-blown revolt. Wow. So how does Nicholas fit into all of this? Was he a rebel-rouser?
While we can't be sure about his stance on the revolt, the fact that he was documented as paying the poll tax in 1379 places him right in the thick of these turbulent times. Imagine living through a period where people were rising up against the established order.
It certainly adds a new dimension to the family history. To think that your potential ancestor might have witnessed this monumental event firsthand. Okay, so we have a vicar potentially shaped by the Black Death and a possible brother caught in the throes of a massive rebellion. This is some family saga. But wait, there's more, right? The story doesn't end in Doncaster.
Not at all. The trail continues, and it leads us north toward a place deeply entwined with legend and lore, Campsall.
Okay, so we're picking up the trail in Campsall. What's the story there? Who are we following this time?
So we fast forward a few generations to 1564, still medieval, just a bit further down the line. The historical text points to another William Farndale, likely a descendant of Nicholas, who gets married in Campsall. This William marries a Margaret Atkinson in the Church of St. Mary Magdalene.
Okay, another William. Weddings, churches. It all sounds kind of, well, ordinary for medieval times. What am I missing?
What's fascinating is that this move to Kamsall, it geographically places your ancestors right on the edge of Barnsdale Forest.
And Barnsdale Forest rings a bell because...
Because it has strong, very strong ties to the legend of Robin Hood.
Wait, Robin Hood? I thought he was all about Sherwood Forest.
That's a common misconception. While later versions of the legend often place Robin Hood in Sherwood Forest, the oldest ballads actually situate him more frequently in Barnsdale.
So this ancestor, William, getting married in Kamsall, that puts the family right in the heart of Robin Hood territory.
Precisely. And it's not just the geography that's intriguing. Kamsall was known for being a center of learning, of storytelling during this period. So it's entirely possible that the Robin Hood tales, which were likely passed down orally for generations, you know, were first written down in or around Kamsall.
Wow. So you're saying that my family might be connected to the people who first recorded the Robin Hood stories? That's incredible.
It's certainly a possibility. Just imagine your ancestors gathering around, listening to these tales of Robin Hood, unaware that centuries later, we'd be tracing those stories back to them.
Okay, now that gives me chills. But hold on, there's one more thing about Kamsall I found in the text. The Church of St. Mary Magdalene. It's more than just any church, right?
You caught that. The historical text highlights a very interesting connection. One of the oldest Robin Hood ballads, A Jest of Robin Hood, it mentions Robin Hood building a chapel in Barnsdale dedicated to Mary Magdalene.
So not only is Kamsall steeped in Robin Hood lore, but this William, my potential ancestor, could have been married in the very church mentioned in the ballad.
It's definitely within the realm of possibility. It really makes you think about these threads of history, how these seemingly ordinary lives intersect with legend.
Okay, I am completely hooked. We've gone from a Doncaster vicar to a potential Robin Hood connection in Kamsall. What an adventure.
It really highlights how those seemingly ordinary lives we've been tracing were actually woven into the fabric of extraordinary times.
It's easy to think of history as just dates and names and textbooks.
Yeah.
But this makes it so much more real. These were real people with families and stories.
Precisely. And for me, that's what brings history to life. To think your ancestors might have known about, heard about, maybe even encountered the real Robin Hood. It's incredible.
We've covered a lot of ground today. Doncaster, the Black Death, the Peasants' Revolt, Kamsall, and maybe even Robin Hood himself. Mm. What are the key takeaways you want our listener to walk away with?
Firstly, every detail matters. A name on a land grant, a tax record, these seemingly small pieces of information can unlock entire chapters of your family history.
It's amazing how something like Nicholas's name appearing on a poll tax record suddenly connects him to the Peasants' Revolt.
Exactly. And secondly, to truly understand our ancestors, we need to understand the world they lived in. Context is everything.
Like you said, plagues, uprisings, social change. No wonder stories of someone like Robin Hood who stood up to authority resonated so deeply.
That brings me to my final takeaway. History is about people, their stories, their connections to each other and to us.
It really makes you think about that grand tapestry of human history and how we're all connected.
And who knows what other stories are out there waiting to be discovered? What other connections are waiting to be made?
That's the beauty of it, right? There's always more to explore. So to our listener out there, if you're feeling inspired, don't let the journey end here. Explore those local records. Dust off those family archives. You never know what treasures you might uncover in your own family history.
Maybe you'll even find a few more Robin Hood connections.
I kind of hope they do. Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring and keep those family stories alive.